Well, it's Christmas time. Can you believe that? The older you get, it seems like time just flies, doesn't it? And just last week, it was Christmas all over again. And so here we are. Christmas is a special time of year. It's a super wonderful time of year. It's a time whenever we set aside to give gifts to one another. It's a time for giving. But not all of us are the same when it comes to giving. Have y'all thought about that? Some of y'all are just all about the whole Christmas season and giving gifts and all that stuff. Since really the end of September, you're already ready to decorate. Anybody know anybody like that? I mean, you're just wanting to get on with the Christmas stuff. And when it comes to giving gifts, you're very thoughtful. You're very meticulous. You really think about the gift that would mean the most to the person that you're going to be buying for. You love shopping for that gift and anticipating how the gift is going to make the person feel whenever they see it, the joy of the surprise on their face, and then when they open it up, your heart is just so happy. Come on, anybody out there like that? Okay, you got some people like that. God bless y'all. Y'all are amazing, right? But not everybody's down with that. Particularly the older you get, that just doesn't have much appeal. How many of y'all got grandparents just give you cash, right? It's because they're over all the shopping and all that stuff. Here, baby, get yourself something you like, right? That's kind of the way our grandparents kind of roll. And so we're on different ends of the spectrum. And then when it comes to wrapping gifts, I mean, some people are all about that life too. I mean, you got to have special kind of paper and all this stuff. And the corners have to be tucked exactly right. You cannot see any tape. I mean, it would just ruin the gift if anybody could see that there's actually tape holding the paper there together. And so they're all about that. My wife is that way. I am not that way. I would put a bow on the Amazon box and give it to you for all I care. That's just the way I roll. We're just different, right? But Christmas is a season of giving, and here's what I want you to hear today. God is a great gift giver. Okay? God is a great gift giver, and he's generous, and he loves to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says this, "But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." The first Christmas is about God's gift to us, and Paul says it's indescribable. Words can't explain it. I mean, it's just, they fail. You could talk for hours, and you could never really fully explain all that this gift really means and represents and is. It's an indescribable gift. John would say you could fill up books and libraries of all the stuff that Jesus really means. It's indescribable. It's just so lavish. It's so thoughtful. It's so life-changing. God's a good gift giver, but God's wrapping paper, it's a little understated. Let's just go with that. The way he presented this unbelievable gift was so humble. Luke says it this way in Luke's gospel chapter 2. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. He's the Roman emperor. That a census would be taken of all the inhabited earth. He's the most powerful man on the planet, and he needs to count his people. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, who was also with child. Now here's where it gets really interesting. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And so she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Isn't that an odd way to wrap an indescribable gift? It's just such an odd way to wrap him in cloths and put him in a common feed box, a common manger. That night, however, carried an incredible treasure. I think Luke is trying to, in his presentation of Jesus, he's writing, trying to give you an historical account so that you can ground your faith in history, just as real as the Roman emperor and the governor of Syria. Jesus was just as real. And in a way, Luke is trying to contrast for you this all-important Roman Caesar that the world bowed down and many worshiped with this humble gift from God. You see, it's a contrast of all that the world celebrates and God's unique way of working in our lives. It's really a contrast of one man who acts like he's God, even though he's not, and another who sometimes didn't seem to act like God, but he was. It's the contrast of a one who the whole world knows and has to do what he says, and one that most people overlooked and he was rejected by his own. One who doesn't even know how many people he's got in his kingdom. He can't even count them all. So let's take a census. And another who not only knows his children and his sheep by name, but he knows the very numbers of hair on their head. That's intimate knowledge, isn't it? That he would care that deeply. One who is actively in the process of taking from people. That's why they're taking the census. So he can know how much to tax people and take from them to bless his own self. And another who came to bless other people by laying down his life. It's the contrast of one who has earthly power for a season and another who has all power forever. One who thought he was God's gift to humanity and one who actually was God's gift to humanity. And so I'm asking you right now, could you stop from all of the stuff you got going on? Because I know you got a lot of stuff going on. We all got a lot of stuff going on. You got year-end stuff at work, you're trying to get all the shopping stuff, you got family, you got drama, you got all that. I know, us too. But today, for the next 30 minutes, would you just with me stop from that and remind yourself, the reason we have Christmas is because God is so stinking generous to us. God is a generous God, and he gave us an indescribable gift. And because God is supremely generous and we have God in our hearts, listen, God wants you to learn, to grow, to be as generous as you can possibly be. So we're talking today, the theme of the day, the idea is generosity. And I want to talk for a few minutes around this idea of generosity by giving you three realities that I hope begin to kind of anchor your life. Here's the first one. God is generous with us. All right, y'all with that? God is generous with us. Our God is lavish and overflowing and bountiful, magnanimous, one word would be. God loves to give good gifts to his children. Now, as I've thought about it, I'm going to break it down into two different ways that God blesses us generously. One is materially. Right? God's blessed us. Right? We just came out of Thanksgiving. Everybody's thanking God for all of our blessings. He's blessed us materially. James 1:17, every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation, no shifting shadow. If you've got good things in your life, thank God. God promises to not let one need go unmet through Jesus. Philippians 4:19, Paul says, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whatever you need, God can meet that. But Paul also goes on to say in one of his last letters, the book of Timothy, he wrote and said, man, God has blessed us past our needs. Look at this. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but instead fix their hope on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Would you just meditate on that for just a second? God's not saying don't enjoy life. He's saying God supplies you with resources and you should enjoy some. But he is saying to you, don't put your hope on that stuff because it's uncertain. And what we know the book teaches is, the Bible teaches is, all earthly things are going to go away one day. So don't put your hope in that. And whatever you do have, put your hope in God. He's the one that's giving it to you. Y'all with that? You tracking with me? So can we just for a moment just stop and say, God has blessed us tremendously when it comes to material things. Thank God, okay? But God also has blessed us spiritually. He blesses us spiritually in ways that are indescribable. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And this would be a place for me to stop and slow myself down and take a breath and be reminded that as I look around this room, and as I know that there are some of you who are watching and worshiping with us online, that not everybody today is in a happy place. Not everybody's life is up and to the right For some of you here today, life is, it was hard for you just to get here today. And you're at your wit's end, and you're at the end of your resources, and you just don't know how you're going to make it one more day. And here the preacher is up here talking about generosity, and it may feel like too much. But that verse, Ephesians 1:3 says, if you need today, whatever it is, God in heaven is supplying you. If you need hope today, help today, strength today, purpose today, peace today, joy, love, would you say to God, God, I need you. I need you to make it Christmas all over again in my heart right now. Help me. That's why we gather, is to get our eyes off of what we don't have and what's going on, and to get our eyes on who we do have and where he's taken us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, including grace and mercy. I love Lamentations 3:22. It's about the only verse out of Lamentations I like. But this is what it says. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Can anybody say amen to that? Great is your faithfulness. Man, we love this verse and the song that it inspired, Great is Your Faithfulness, because it says every morning, God's mercies are new. Some of you aren't struggling. Some of you just totally made a mess. And maybe it was last night or this week or whatever, but you lost your stuff. And you sit here today and you feel so awful, and yet God says, I'm so generous. I got new mercy for you every morning. What do we learn back in Romans 5? There's more grace in God than there is sin in us. Thank God. He is lavish in his mercy and his grace and his loving kindness and his faithfulness to us every single day. He has blessed us with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the, look at that, gift of the Holy Spirit. That right now the presence of God is living inside of you, helping you, transforming you when you say yes to God's gift. And he's given you the blessing of spiritual family. 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. I love some translations that say lavished upon us. That we would be called children of God, and that's exactly who we are. Please look at that. You know what that means? It means God sees you. God chose you. He's adopted you. He calls you his own. And you are an heir of heaven. You belong. You belong. He has richly blessed us with life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but they would have everlasting life. Please see what he's saying. God loved you. That's why he's giving. Not because you were good, showed up church today, you know, paid your tithes or did whatever. That is not why he loves you. That's not why he gave Jesus. He gave because he loves you. He just loves you. And that love prompted him to give himself to you. To have relationship so that you can profess your faith in life in Christ. And when you receive this gift, you get eternal life. Now listen, that does mean life one day after this life is over, but the Bible says that eternal life is life now. It's a kind of life now. Okay, so don't miss it. It's a kind of life now, a spirit life now. Not physical life with God tacked on, maybe help me out. It is the particular kind of life. It is a spirit-centered, Christ-driven, Holy Spirit-empowered and directed kind of life. Jesus called it an abundant life. Life that you can't fathom. He's generous in the way that he gives this life. And it's now. It starts now. And it'll be fulfilled one day in eternity. But God is a very generous God to us. So at the start of this Christmas season, could I just ask us, just for a moment, let's don't let the hustle and the hassle overwhelm you, steal your joy, and turn you into that guy. I mean, because ain't nobody got time to be Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Bah, humbug. He used to scare me when I would watch the Christmas story. I didn't like that because that guy was just such a hot mess until he realized how blessed he was. And don't let it turn you into this other person, Do y'all know who that is? Come on, anybody know who that is? Oh, that's the Grinch. Oh, he done stole Christmas. What? He was just an unhappy guy until love changed him. And I guess that's really what I'm trying to say to you as my brothers and sisters today. Listen, the reality is the hustle, the hassle, the drama of family and all that can turn you into to Scrooge or the Grinch. And I'm just saying, would you just let the love of God change your heart to make sure that at this Christmas season, it doesn't become all the stuff. But you take a moment to say, God, you've been so good to me. You have generously given me an indescribable gift. Okay, y'all with it? Generosity starts with God. God is generous with us. And so would you intentionally today, in the next week, all the way through Christmas, would you take time to just say, set an alarm on your phone, something. God, I just want to stop today and say, thank you for your gifts to me. Materially, spiritually, thank you. And some of you, you're facing some really tough circumstances and you don't know what 2024 is going to be like. And can I say to you, would you start to call on the generous heart of God to meet you in your need? I'll give you a verse for it, Romans 8:32. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? You know what that verse is saying? It's saying, if God gave you his best gift, don't you think he's going to give you any other gift you need? And so maybe you need to write Romans 8:32 on your hand, or maybe you need to put it on your dashboard or your mirror, just someplace where you in these uncertain days can say, God, you're going to be generous to me. See, generosity starts with God. Here's the second reality of generosity. It's this: our church desires to be generous. I would say we are generous and we can be generous for sure, but our desire is to be generous. God is generous, so we want to be generous. Now, when I came to Pine Lake back in 1998, I don't really remember exactly when I got hired, but it was sometime at the end of 1998. I do know my first Sunday to preach at Pine Lake was January the 10th of 1999. Okay, so any Y2K folks out there, y'all remember Y2K? That was a thing, wasn't it, back in the day? When I got to Pine Lake, God had been working through my predecessor, a guy named Tommy Politz, to really begin to move Pine Lake in a fascinating way, and growth was happening. But for a long, long time, Pine Lake had not really been financially even able in a season to pay its bills. Okay, so we couldn't pay our bills. Real talk, y'all good? Can we have real talk? Real talk. If we hadn't had a K-3 through first grade program, we probably would have we'd have been in a real bind. The K-3 through first grade was paying the bills for a hot minute there. And it was really, really rough. But God was working and the church was growing and we were able to save a little bit of money. And somewhere around 2001, 2002, I can't remember, called the owner of an apartment complex to see if he could remember. But there was an apartment fire in our community. Lightning struck this building and it caught on fire. There are 8 units in this building. And I want to say the whole thing burned to the ground. Now, the reservoir fire chief was here at one of the earlier services and he's like, and I'm like, well, maybe it didn't burn to the ground, but it just burned up. Okay, so that fair enough? Okay, so it burns up, and it's a total loss for everybody. And again, this is what I love about Mississippi. You probably couldn't do this everywhere, but man, we live in a little community, and we called our banker and said, hey, listen, this has happened in our community. It's nighttime. Can we get some money out of the bank? And so this is what you love about Mississippi. People from the bank met us at the bank, opened it up, gave us some cash, and that night we were able to deliver to all 8 of those tenants somewhere between $1,000 and $1,200 just to let them get a hotel room, to let them get a toothbrush and toothpaste and underwear or whatever that was. And when we saw the way that impacted those people in their moment of need and what it did in our hearts, our elders said, we don't ever want to not be able to do that again. It was so meaningful. As a matter of fact, at the first service today during the response time, a guy and his wife came down and they prayed right there. And then whenever he got through praying, he turned around to me and I didn't know what he wanted. And he looked at me and he said, I was one of those families that got burned out that night. And I just thought, thank God, thank God, thank God. Now, from that day, our elders made a decision to change things about the way we do money. Most churches budget this way. I'm sure y'all sit around all the time wondering about, I wonder how churches do budgets. So this is the way most churches do budgets, okay? Most churches do budgets this way. Whatever last year's offerings were, next year's budget's going to be that plus a little, because we got to have, you know, room for growth and have faith, right? So if last year's income was a dollar, if the receipts were a dollar, next year's budget's going to be $1.05, okay? And so you're always stretching, hoping the money's going to come through, but there's no margin because you plan to spend it all. That day, our elder said, from now on, if our budget is, if our giving was a dollar, our budget's going to be 90 cents. So that there's margin to always respond to needs that we don't see coming in that year. And since that time, us as a church family, most every year have been able to step toward needs that arise, and certainly at the end of the year, if there's money that is left over, we step toward ministries and partnerships in our community and around the world, because we want to bless. We want to demonstrate that we have the heart of God. His heart is generous. We want to be generous. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, freely you have received, so freely give. If God's generous, wouldn't his church be generous? Wouldn't you think? And so we want to demonstrate we have the heart of God. Now, I know the context of that verse is to be generous with things like healing and deliverance, salvation, stuff like that. But the Bible also talks all the way through about material resources. If you have it, bless others. And we want to demonstrate as a church family, again, you're hearing about your church. Your church family wants to demonstrate that we trust God. That if we give like he does, he makes sure to supply all of our needs. Since 1999 and since 2001, whenever we gave that night, the economy has gone like this, y'all. Y'all know that. It goes up and down. And there have been times whenever our elders and staff have kind of leaned toward, you know, the television set to see, man, do we need to cut the budget back? Do we need to tighten our belt? And have been prepared to do all those things. But I want you to hear that even though the economy has had downturns, Pine Lake has not participated. And we call it the Goshen principle in the Old Testament whenever the plagues were hitting Egypt and yet God's people were shielded. Somehow God has given a Goshen principle to you as our church family and to us, and God has just continued to faithfully provide for our needs. And we've been faithful to try to meet needs of others. One of my favorite preachers is a guy named E.V. Hill. He's in heaven now. But Pastor Hill is an African-American pastor in Los Angeles. And he used to say, if God can get money through you, he'll get money to you. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And we just want to be a church that says, we trust you, God. We trust you. You can get it through us. So we want to have his heart, and we want to trust him, not the resources. And we want to demonstrate stewardship. That our goal is to build the kingdom, to impact our communities and the world. And so as God has blessed us, we've sought to bless others. And again, at the end of last year, so at the end of 2023, when we moved into 2022, when we moved into 2023, we were able to bless some folks. And I want you to hear the impact that you've had all over the community and the world. Would you watch the screen?
Your generosity this year has allowed the 242 Church Planting Network to see 15 new church plants throughout the state, as well as us being able to train 20 new planters for upcoming works.
This year, the CPC Metro has served over 350 women who are considering abortion or who are at risk for abortion. That number is actually up about 53% from last year. So we're building a brand new space. We're moving into a new building later this month where we'll be able to serve more women. And that's because of your support.
Because of your generosity, Gateway Rescue Mission is able to serve 300 meals a day to men, women, and children, house 30 or more men nightly. And also through our New Life program, we're able to offer life-changing hope to men that are struggling with addiction.
Thank you so, so much, Pine Lake, for your generosity. Your donation enabled 10 homeless families to be housed at our permanent supportive housing campus.
Because of your generosity, I was able to travel across the world to Europe on a mission trip to spread the gospel to a primarily non-Christian community.
Pine Lake, thank you for your generosity. Since you sponsored me, you allowed me to go to last year's church camp. During this time at camp, I was able to ask Jesus to come into my life and save me from my sins.
Because of your support, JLF has been able to train 24 ministry leaders in the city of Jackson, mobilize over 1,000 volunteers to the city, and acquire 23 Sixth Place, what will be a collaborative center for churches and ministries in the heart of the city. Thank you for your support and generosity.
Thank you so much for your generous support. We are continuing to serve families with an incredible Christian education, all while offering medical, dental, legal aid, and after-school care services. We cannot thank you enough for your support.
Convoy of Hope responded to 75 national and international disasters, provided more than 15 million pounds of emergency supplies, and served more than 4 million people in Jesus' name.
Mississippians Against Human Trafficking serves to provide awareness and fill gaps in services. Over the last few years, we helped start a therapeutic group home for trafficked youth. With Pine Lake's donation from last year, we were able to complete the landscaping project at the therapeutic group home for trafficked youth. We also provided patio furniture and Adirondack chairs for outside seating. A Pine Lake small group from Madison provided the manual labor and did all the landscaping, and a Reservoir small group is coming out in a few weeks to install swings for the girls. We are so thankful that Pine Lake linked arms with us and continues to support trafficking victims in Mississippi.
Because of your generosity, SHIP Missions is able to provide college scholarships, housing, Christian discipleship, and most recently started a foster care program where we are able to provide a bilingual education and hire a Honduran family to oversee the program. Honduras is one of the poorest countries in Central America, with a majority of the people living below the poverty line. Your support allows us to faithfully walk beside the people in our program to change generational poverty.
Hello, Pine Lake family. My name is Denise Marsters, and I am with the McCoy House Extended Care in Jackson, Mississippi. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your continued support of our mission, which is to provide a safe environment for women to heal from trauma, abuse, neglect, mental disorders, and addiction, and for that we will always be grateful.
Dear Pine Lake family, on behalf of Tenet and Foundation, I would like to thank you for your generosity and your support. Because of you, 65 different people were able to come to the Czech Republic on 9 different trips this year alone, working with churches, outreaches, festivals, advancing the kingdom of God in a nation where most citizens don't even know a single follower of Jesus Christ. And so thank you for playing your vital part in the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ here in Mississippi, in the Czech Republic, and around the world.
Hey, Pine Lake family, I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity. Because of it, Ellipsis International has been able to do 2 international freedom camps, a freedom camp here locally, and a training over 200 pastors and leaders in Honduras, giving them trauma healing discipleship that they now can take back to their churches and regions.
Because of your generosity to FCA, we saw over 600 people attend one of our life-changing statewide camps. We saw coaches' marriages strengthened and restored at our annual coaches' retreat. We saw college students made new when they placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and high school leaders equipped to launch and lead campus ministries all over Mississippi.
Thanks to our Pine Lake friends here at We Will Go, we have been able to give groceries to over 18,000 souls here in downtown Jackson. We've been able to minister to 95 kids in Camp Hope. 50 kids are in our after-school ministry, and then we've been able to minister to thousands of volunteers. So thank you guys.
Come on, can we celebrate that together? Here's what I want to say. You did that. Y'all did that. I know it was you and God, us and God, but that's what we're a part of doing, and you're having an impact all over the place. And if you gave a single dime to Pine Lake last year, some of that had that kind of impact. And so, way to go. It's not just out there in the community and around the world. I'm saying even right here among us, There's impact, and you can scan the QR code to see the mission, the year-end report, or pick it up out in the commons after a while. But here's some of the things you're going to read that happened so far this year at Pine Lake. To date, 682, now 683 people have professed faith in Christ and been baptized at one of our Pine Lake campuses. That's amazing. I love the part of that video, love everything about that video, but the part that got me was when the little guy says, "Thank you, Pine Lake family, for sponsoring me to go to 56 camp." Because I went to 56 camp, I got to hear about Jesus, and I got to ask him into my heart. And I'm just telling you that gives me joy. And so we had 813 other friends in student ministry who also got to go to summer camp. Now, here's what you need to know about summer camp. Every kid gets scholarship to go to summer camp to make it affordable. And if they can't afford it, they still get to go to camp. Because of your generosity, 1,364 children got to experience Summerfest. 570 people were sent on mission trips around the world. And here's the deal. Every person who went, their trip cost half because we paid the other half through your generosity. At our care centers at four of our campuses, so far this year we've given away 551,550 pounds of food to 7,804 different families. When people in our community have needs, we have an opportunity, a mechanism, a way to help meet their need right now. And we give them groceries and we pray for them and we engage with them. I had a guy sit right behind me last Sunday who said, "I came to the care center and I received groceries, and I just needed to come to be a part of the church that blessed me that way." That's what you're doing every single week. In addition to the care centers that meet needs externally, listen, benevolence, the church has benevolence, but the benevolence of this church goes to our church members. So think care centers, let's bless the community. If a person drives by and knocks on the door and says, "Hey, we're stranded, we need something," we go to the care center to get help for them, right? Real food right now, gas, whatever. But if our church members are in need, we have benevolence. And this year we gave away over $85,000 worth of help to church members who got laid off, couldn't pay a bill, had unexpected medical needs arise, or whatever that was. That's what we do in caring for one another when we hit hard times. There's benevolence. In addition to that, we have a fund called Matthew 25, I don't know if you know what Matthew 25:40 says, but it's the scripture where Jesus says, "Hey, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was in prison, you came to see me. I was sick, you took care of me." Y'all remember that? And they're like, "When did we ever see you do that?" "When you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." So we have a fund, Matthew 25, where we give to the least of these. And this past year, over $70,000 went to people who were just in a really bad spot. And we were able to step toward that. Three houses built in Rolling Fork. You were a part of that. You've been hearing about that. And over $400,000 in counselors' volunteer hours toward disaster relief. What I'm trying to say is God has been good to us, and so we've tried to be good to the community and the world. Are y'all with me? God is generous. And so we want to be generous as a church family. And that leads to the third reality. We only get to be generous as a church family if you are generous personally. So you should be generous. God is generous. We're generous. I want to be generous. I think that's God's plan for you. I think that's what he desires for your life. No matter where you are, whether you're up here or down here in your current economic situation, I think what God desires is for you to begin to live generously. At Pine Lake, we don't take up an offering anymore. All right? We did away with that during COVID. So when COVID hit, y'all didn't show up, so we couldn't pass the plate. And so we really pressed everybody to, hey, start giving digitally, give online, that kind of thing. And so we've kind of stayed with that. And look, speaking real, I think we got carried away with that and hammered on money too much. And I don't know if you were sick of it, but I was. So we just quit talking about money altogether. So we hadn't been talking about money. We hadn't been hounding you about money. We hadn't been taking up an offering, but God's still been blessing. And if you want to give your offering, look, today you can do that. There's an offering box that where out in the commons, you can do that. I still give a physical check every 2 weeks when I get paid. That way I get to hold on to the money a little bit longer until they can cash that check, right? So I still write a check. I'm old school. I got reasons, and none of them are good, but I got reasons, okay? But here's kind of the approach that we've taken. So if you're new to Pine Lake, here's the deal. We don't talk about money very much, but when we do, we just try to tell you what the Bible says, and then we trust you and the Holy Spirit to work it out. And so lucky you, you showed up on the day where we're talking about money. But can I invite you to be on a journey? Again, it's a journey. It's a journey. You may not be there yet. It's okay. Get on the journey. Can I just tell you what the Bible says and kind of ask you to find yourself on this journey? Okay. The journey of generosity starts with learning to do what the Bible calls tithing. It's the starting point. I'm going to give you some Bible verses. You can go back and look at them later. Okay, the first one comes from Leviticus 27, verse 30, where God was introducing this concept in an agricultural community. He says, I want the first fruits. So what he said, Leviticus 27, 30, thus all the tithe means 10%, of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the trees is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. God says, first 10% off the top's mine, and it belongs to me. Okay? So give it to me. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you, God? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse because you're robbing me, whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I won't open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it's overflowing. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor will your vine in the field cast off its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. The beginning point of generosity is learning to tithe. Give 10% of your income off the top to the local church that you attend. Whatever you call home, if it's not Pine Lake, awesome. Whatever church is your home church, that's where you would say, this is my spot. This is where I give my tithe. And the tithe is the training wheels of giving. It's how you get started. And here's what a tithe does. Listen to me. It reminds you that God's been good to you. You can write that check and go, oh my gosh. Or you can write that check and go, thank you. You have blessed me. And your tithe reminds you that it all belongs to God. Sometimes we'd say, well, I'm going to give God his 10% so I can do what I want to with my 90. Well, that's not exactly what the Bible teaches. The Bible says give 10% to the church, and then the other 90% use it the way God wants you and leads you to use it. You can enjoy some. I've already shown you that verse. You can live on some. That's awesome. But listen to what God says about how you should use the rest. Okay? Remember the story of the talents, 5-talent guy, 2-talent guy, 1-talent guy? They all did work with their master's money until the master came back and said, what'd you do with my money? In the same way, it's all God's money. We're going to give it all back to him one day, some way, somehow. He's going to ask you, what did you do with what I trusted to you? So your tithe reminds me, it really all belongs to God. I want to steward all of it. Your tithe reminds you to trust God, not the money. My hope's in God, not in how much money I've got. God's the one who meets my needs, and your tithe opens you up to God's economy. God's economy doesn't make sense. Somehow that you and God can do, God can help you do more with 90% than you could with 100 makes no sense. But do I have anybody in here who says, I've actually tried it and it works? Okay. 6 of y'all. Thank y'all. Y'all are amazing. Y'all are doing some amazing stuff. I'm just saying to you, I don't know how to explain it, but God's word is true. Don't give to get. That ain't it. You give because God's given to you. Okay? This is the beginning point of your journey. Then what happens as you try that, and wow, man, God's actually meeting us. I don't know how it's working. I had a lady that comes at 9:30. She sits right behind me. She told me after the service, she came down during response time. I thought it was, you know, some, I don't know what it was. She said, hey, just need to tell you that I give my tithe every 2 weeks on the, you know, automatic thing. And she said, but they've been taking it out every week. Okay, so she's been double tithing. And she said, but God's just doing my accounting. Somehow I got more money than I thought I had, and I'm going to just let him keep on doing it. All right. That sounds so weird. Like, that's a mess. And it may be a mess, but it's God's mess. That's what she would tell you. It's God's mess, and somehow he meets her needs every single day, even as she walks through a battle with cancer. God meets her needs every single day. Okay, so as you learn that, all of a sudden you open yourself up to generosity where, you know what, it's not just my tithe. I think I might would be generous to some other things as well. I'd be generous to some other ways as well. Paul wrote to some believers that he had led to faith in Christ who were Gentile, and he said, hey, I want us to give us an offering so that we can help the Jewish brothers and sisters out, because when they turn to faith in Jesus as Messiah, they lose everything. Paul knew what that was. He had been a Pharisee. When he trusted Christ, he lost his position, his power, his status, everything. He knew what that felt like, so he got a special offering to take back to Jerusalem to bless folks who, when they professed Jesus as Messiah, their families disowned them and their businesses were boycotted and they had nothing. Okay. So when Paul's writing to some churches, particularly one in Corinth, about this offering, this is what he says, 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now I say, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. He's talking about giving. Each one must do, please look at this, as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. In other words, don't give because I'm asking. Don't give like you have to, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it's written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything, for all liberality or generosity is the word, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it's also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Paul says there are times when you give to things over and above your tithe, and that's going to happen with you. You're going to see needs, generosity, charity stuff, needs in your community. You're going to go, I think that's it. And maybe you're going to be led to maybe bless somebody just in a moment. You're going to see a need. You're going to have the ability to step toward that need, and you're going to learn to do it. My wife was at Hobby Lobby this week. That's not unusual. She goes there for decorating things and artistic stuff. And she was in line, and there was a lady in front of her who had this particular ornament or decoration, and it was really pretty. And the lady says to the cashier, hey, would you check and see how much that is? The lady does a little deal, and it's $14. And she says, but it's half off. And the woman has it, and she goes, I really want it, but I just can't do it right now. Could you put it back for me? So the lady leaves, and Christy says to the lady, hey, would you mind checking me out real quick and put that in on me? I want to go give it to her. And so they checked out real quick, and Christy stalked her in the parking lot and ran her down. Ma'am. She said, I know you wanted this really badly. You really loved it, and I wanted you to have it. And God's blessed me, and I can give it to you. And so would you just enjoy it? She said the woman just lit up. She was so thankful. Christy said it made her feel so good. But the amazing thing was is the cashier said, that's amazing, and that's what our world's missing. Generous people. And so God may move you to give to the Red Cross, or he may move you to help somebody with a chicken biscuit in the car behind you, or whatever that is. He's going to inspire you to do that. God may inspire you to give toward our stuff that you just saw, a year-end gift to the church. Back in 2001, we had Immeasurably More. Any of y'all remember Immeasurably More? It was a once-in-a-lifetime offering where we asked people to sacrifice. We'll never ask you to do this again. Once-in-a-lifetime offering. God's working. Would you please do it? And so we did. And since that time, we've had 5 other once-in-a-lifetime offerings at Pine Lake. So we weren't lying, not intentionally, but God has just met us, and he's opened other doors, and some of us have learned what it feels like to say, okay, God, if you're putting this on my heart to participate, okay. Okay. It's part of your journey. Now here, listen to me, please don't miss this part. If you choose to give to something over and above, it always needs to be because the Holy Spirit is prompting you to. That's what Paul said. Don't give it begrudgingly. Don't give it out of compulsion. If the Holy Spirit stirs in your heart, that's when you give. And you do so because God has blessed you. Please hear me. You don't give to get. You give because you already got. I don't give to get, I give because I've got something to give. And so I give knowing God has blessed me, and I give knowing that God honors generosity. It's a growing trust between me and God. I'm not trying to get rich, I'm trying to get God's heart into me. And I know He'll meet my needs. And then the last step in that journey from tithing to a generous heart, it becomes generosity out of joy. There's joy in generosity. God loves a cheerful giver, Paul said. You start to look for ways, plan for ways to be generous. There's a guy in our church, he and his wife, years ago, had been blessed, and they set up an account without their names on the checks so that they could every month bless people and nobody know where it came from. They planned every month to put money into that account and give it away and nobody know but them and God. I know people, not me, but people who have been very, very blessed and they have so much joy and they want their lives to count for so much impact that they've established trust, foundations, endowments to ensure that generosity continues even after they're gone. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't store up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Please notice, this is backwards from what we say. We say where your heart is, your money goes. No. Where your money is, your heart's gonna go. So where's your money? He went on to say in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other, but you can't serve God and money. So here's we close. Listen, be generous. Be generous. It reveals you have the heart of God. It blesses others and brings you joy. It opens you up to God's economy, and it changes your life forever. And so here's the way we're gonna close. I'm gonna ask you to do three things, and then we're gonna pray about them. The first one is this. Would you just stop right now and say to God, thank you. You have been so generous to me. Okay? I want to ask you to be thankful today and through the rest of the month as we approach Christmas. Thank God for generosity. Second thing is I want you to make a declaration. This is what I want you to declare about yourself. I'm generous. I'm generous. I'm a giver. I'm not a taker. I'm generous. You may not be generous yet, but you're making a declaration. I'm generous. Why? Because I got God and God's generous, and so the Holy Spirit's going to help me to be generous. So I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm generous. I've got a person in my family, and I don't really want to say much about it because I don't want to embarrass her or whatever, but she, as much as I know, she has really struggled financially for as long as I, not as long as I've known, but for the last 20 years. And yet she almost never shows up to our family gatherings without some type of gift for everybody. And they're very thoughtful and they're very intentional, but they're like the widow's mite. But she's a giver. She's generous. And if she can be generous, I can be generous. So would you make that declaration? I'm generous. I thank God. And I'm generous. And then would you ask the Holy Spirit, what does that look like in my life now? What does it look like, Holy Spirit, for me to be generous like you're generous? Okay? So can we pray that way now? Just across the room, would you just start right there? Thank God for His generosity to you materially, spiritually. Just give thanks. It's Christmas time, y'all. God gave you an indescribable gift. Give thanks. Would you trust that he's going to meet you no matter where you are right now? He is going to meet you. He's more than enough. Would you just make that declaration about yourself? I'm generous. I'm generous. I'm on the journey. I may not be all I'm going to be yet, but I'm generous. I'm choosing to be a generous person. Whether it's the last piece of pie at Christmas or a really thoughtful gift, whatever that is, I'm generous. I'm a generous person. I do as best I can to be a blessing when God leads me. And then would you just say, Jesus, would you show me what it looks like in my life now to be generous in this moment and in the days ahead. Holy Spirit, I open myself up to you. Show me. I'm going to close the prayer in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing one last song. I'm going to have some friends at the front. They'd love to pray with you, speak life over you, help you in any way we can. But I also want to say, you could just come to the front today and just kneel down and say, God, thank you. You've been so generous to me. And I just want to say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for your indescribable gift. And we want your heart to be our heart. Make us generous. In the name of Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, for your glory, Father, amen and amen. Come on, would you stand with us? You respond as God leads you.